Our scripture reading today, I've added a few additional verses, so I'll be reading Luke 24, verses 36 through 53. Hear the word of the Lord. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them, and while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Today is Ascension Sunday in the life of the church, and as I noted in the children's time there, Ascension is one of those days that can be often overlooked in the life of the church. There are some churches that don't even observe the Ascension anymore. And I think one of the reasons for that is technically the Ascension is 40 days after Easter, which would put it on this past Thursday. Not many churches meet on Thursdays anymore. So some either just opt not to celebrate it or celebrate on Sunday like we're doing today. So we have that 40 days after Easter. Next Sunday is Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. So there's a lot going on. But unfortunately, since the Ascension has been neglected over the past several years, people think that Jesus is not only gone bodily, but his divine presence is gone as well. And he is in heaven, and we are kind of left behind here to sort of muddle through our own in life here. But, you know, it's almost view it as he's up there and we're kind of down here. But as you will see, the disciples didn't see it that way. They understood the Ascension to be something quite different. So our text today is the final scene in the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus appears to the disciples, and he wants to impress upon them one last time that he has been raised bodily from the dead. So Jesus says, you know, "Look at me, I have flesh and bones, you can see the marks of the cross." And even after doing that, they still seem kind of bewildered and puzzled. They didn't quite know what to make of that. Finally, Jesus says, "Well, let's sit down and have some fried catfish." And at that point, they sit down, they have a meal, and that's when I think they begin to realize who this actually is among them that they've been following for years now. They finally come to realize who this is. And I think a meal like that still kind of works. We had the senior luncheon here on, Wednesday, was about 100 students here, you know, young men and women here, come over here to eat lunch and sat down with them, and it was a really good time. I got to meet some of them, got to know some of them. A couple are going off in the Marines, one's going up to college in Missouri, and it was just really a time to get together and just have a time to celebrate their accomplishment of graduating high school. But they were able to do that here, so I had a little bit of a word about being prophets in our time and whatnot. So it was really a time just to get to know them a little bit, relax, and it was really a very good time, a lot of good cooking. There was a football player I sat next to, and he had this mound of food there. And I said, man, that's a big plate. So this is my second plate. You should have seen it. So that was some really good barbecue. But that's how it unfolds, you know. And Jesus did it back then. We still do that today. And there's something about that that just kind of breaks down barriers. So with that, you know, sitting down with Jesus, I think the disciples finally get it. These barriers are broken down. They kind of understand now what the future has in hold for them. So Luke gives us this Reader's Digest version, once again, of salvation history. So I need to unpack these verses a little bit for you. And Jesus tells them that everything written about me in the Law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And as I noted last week, Christianity is a revealed religion. This isn't something that we just made up on our own. God works within time and within history to reveal the mystery of faith, the mystery of salvation. And that thread runs throughout all the Old Testament and into the New Testament. And Jesus is the Messiah, and these things we couldn't accomplish, these on our own. He had to do this for us because we couldn't accomplish these things. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is now the mediator between God and humanity. And as Jesus said, all these things had to be fulfilled. These things must be fulfilled. That's what he told them. They must be fulfilled. So there's a divine timetable that we see throughout the Scriptures where things must be fulfilled. There's kind of this progression going on. And in the incarnation, God himself became one of us. He became human. And that's why Jesus' life and his ministry are so important. He reveals a pattern of life for us, a pattern of how we should approach life and how we should approach others in this world. And people can find history kind of dull. Jesus is kind of giving a history lesson here. Sometimes people find history to be kind of dull. I enjoy history. I like reading about history and things like that. But I have to admit, it's one thing to read about history, but it's something else to actually live through history. And if I was to ask some folks here today, those of you who were around at the time, where were you when Kennedy was assassinated? You probably know. You remember that day like it was yesterday. I wasn't born yet. So I can read about it. I can read about President Kennedy. I can watch all the documentaries, and there have been a whole slew of them on TV about the assassination and all that stuff. I can watch all this stuff, but it's not the same as having lived through that experience. It's kind of just etched in your mind. Now, for me, I think September 11th, and for many of you, is another one of those days, and I was around then. I can remember that. I remember exactly what that day was like. It was a beautiful sunny day here, driving into work, and that's when I heard about it. So we can all pretty much, we remember that, and it's kind of etched in our minds. So by experiencing that, our minds are opened in a way that's different than just simply reading about something. It's really impressed upon and sort of etched in our minds. And I think Jesus gets that. So as he's telling the disciples about this history, he gets to verse 45 and it says, he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Now I read verses 45 and 46 just like that. You know, you'll one to the other. But I think in between those verses, there's some time there. And I think Jesus was opening their minds and impressing upon them exactly what this history is all about in such a way, it's almost like us on those days that are etched into our mind and we know the meaning of that day and what actually happened. And I think he was doing that with the scriptures for them to impress in their minds, more so than maybe just for them reading the scriptures, but to impress in their minds what was actually happening here. And I think at that point that became very important for them. And I think that can happen for us as well. That's why I encourage people to read scripture, carefully and prayerfully, because he can open up those scriptures and impress upon us things that we just could not get from reading them on our own. But he impresses those things upon us almost as if we were there living through that, because he was there throughout all of history going through that. So he can impress upon those things a deeper meaning than we might be able to get on our own. And he certainly did that for the disciples here today. So he finishes the history lesson, and then he goes on to open up the future for the disciples. And he says to them in verse 47 that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He says, "And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city and wait until you've been clothed with power from on high." Now, some of you may have been driving here today asking yourself, "I wonder if the preacher's going to have anything worthwhile to say today." Well, here goes. Your sins are forgiven. That's good news, okay? And I don't forgive your sins. Jesus has forgiven you your sins. And what is repentance? Repentance is letting go of the ball and chain you've been dragging around for a good number of years of your life, of things that you just can't let go of or whatever. Let go of the ball and chain. Free yourself from that. Repentance also means not to search out a new ball and chain to replace the old ball and chain you've left behind you. That is not repentance. Repentance is leaving all of that behind and allowing Jesus to free you up, to forgive your sins, to really repent and just start anew. That's what he's saying here, and that's what he calls us to proclaim. Not just me, but y'all. Y'all are to proclaim that. You all are to proclaim forgiveness of sins and repentance. I'm a big sports fan. Y'all know that by now. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You're going to get out there in the game, you know? And you might get jostled around a little bit, you know? But you have to be in the game. It's not a spectator sport. It's an active thing that you are to do. And it's not just for preachers. It's for everybody. And I encourage you to remember that. So on this Ascension Day, they finally understood who this was that they've been following around for years now. And verse 52 says, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now I want you to understand just how radical that one verse is. These are Jews who are following Jesus around. Jews don't just worship any old thing. They worship God only. That's who they worship. They worship God. That's right there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Worship God only. I mean, that's what it says. That's what they're to do. But the first thing they do after Jesus ascends is they worship him. So that would have been unthinkable. Just prior to that time, it wouldn't even have entered their mind. But now, their understanding of who God is has been changed radically. And it's no longer possible for them to talk about God without talking about Jesus. It's no longer possible for them to talk about God without talking about the one who lived, the one who was crucified, the one who was buried, the one who rose from the dead, and the one who ascended into heaven. It's impossible for them not to do that now. They cannot separate them out. So it's impossible to talk about God without talking about Jesus the Christ. That is a fundamental change that takes place right here at the end of the Gospel of Luke. One final point that I would like to make today, you might perceive it as a bit radical, but it's really not, I don't think. I think it's actually very biblical. As I noted, it's very clear, I think, that the disciples, Jesus changed how the disciples view God. Their understanding of God changed. And throughout the Gospels, Jesus was telling the people around him that there are things that must be fulfilled. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, "In all wisdom and insight, God made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth." So perhaps one of the things that needed to be fulfilled was that God needed a little bit better understanding of us. We needed a better understanding of Him. And maybe He needed a better understanding of us. So He became one of us to gain that understanding. And in doing so, He is uniting all things in heaven and on earth. And He knows what it means to be human. And so when we go to God in prayer with all of our why questions of why this has happened or just some of the challenges that we face in life, when we go to God, we're not going to some God who's aloof up there, tucked away in heaven, looking down saying, "Boy, I hope y'all are getting along well and I hope to see you soon," or whatever. We don't worship a God like that. The God we worship is one who is fully divine, but we also worship God who is fully human. And He knows loneliness, He knows betrayal, He knows rejection, He knows sadness, He even knows death. And God, in all of His wisdom, is redeeming all things. So the story doesn't continue next week with, "Well, what's Jesus doing in heaven? Let's see what's going on in heaven now." That's not how it continues next week. Next week is Pentecost. And the New Testament and the good news of God is about what's going on here and now. That's what Jesus is doing for us. He is sending us His Spirit. He is recreating us. He is transforming us. See, He's transforming red church, red radio. It's a Spirit, the Holy Spirit of fire, of power and grace that has come upon us. And we are to be transformed people. And that is what the New Testament focuses on. It doesn't focus on Jesus up there in heaven and what He's doing now and when we're going to go see Him and when He's going to come back to us. That's not what it's about, and the disciples know that. And they worship with great joy at Jesus' leaving. So they understand, probably better than we understand. So I encourage you to look for that power on high. Experience the presence of Jesus here and now with that power on high. And experience the new creation that He has to offer. We don't have to carry around this baggage we've been carrying around. We are free to live our lives with our sins forgiven, and we can turn from those things that hold us back and experience the power and the grace that God gives us through Jesus Christ each and every day. And we can have that power, and it will transform your life here and now, and it'll make you into new creations. It'll ultimately make you fully human. That's what we're going on to perfection, fully human, loving God perfectly, loving each other perfectly. That's what we are going on to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.